Echoes of Al-Ghazali. His words still guide the seeking soul from knowing the self to reaching the goal. Echoes of Al-Ghazali.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please recite after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Echoes of Al-Ghazali. In this program, we are discussing the masterpiece book of Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, which is known as Ihya'ul Ulum Fid-Din. And today our topic will be Islamic knowledge, knowledge of Deen Islam. What he has gathered regarding this from Quran, from the Hadith, from the Aqwal, sayings of our pious predecessors. A bit of taste, inshallah, we will be learning from this very beautiful book called Ihya'ul Ulum. Be with us from beginning till end, immense amount of knowledge, inshallah, we're going to share with you. A program not to be missed. Ask your family members to come and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen and join this program from beginning till end. With all good intentions, because my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Al-Sunnah, Hazrati Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Hafizahullah, has given us this beautiful mindset that we should not forget to make good intentions. As we are presenting this program, we make this intention that we'll do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should be the foremost intention of every believer. You make this intention that you will join us from start till end with focus, concentration. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others. Today joins me again, Brother Muhammad Hussein Abbas Attari. It's an honor for me. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hussein Abbas, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, very very well to have you, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. Another interesting program with another unique and beautiful topic, inshallah. Indeed. Unique in a sense that the pearls of knowledge and wisdom which are hidden in this book, Ihya'ul Ulum, alhamdulillah, when you go through them, when you read them, and you know, you're mesmerized.
Indeed.
And you are mesmerized.
Indeed.
And inshallah, the same pearls we're going to share today with viewers of Madani Channel. And Wasim Abbas, before we just proceed towards our topic of the day, which is Islamic knowledge today, let me remind to the viewers we've got a few segments in this program also. And the very first segment would be our topic, which is main topic, Islamic knowledge. And then, inshallah, we'll have one segment that's called Sufi Saints. And today we'll select one beautiful personality. Inshallah, we'll talk about life and legacy of that great individual who ever graced the face of this earth. And then we've got Sufi Wisdom segment, in which we select a few sayings of great pious predecessors. And inshallah, we try to explain them. And even one call and saying of our Sheikh Tariqat Amir of Al-Sunnah is also included in that segment. So much to learn, inshallah. Let's begin our topic. Today, when we talk about Ihya Ulumuddin, this book written by Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, the very first topic which he has brought in his book, that is regarding knowledge,
Indeed.
That is regarding deen.
Indeed.
And then the beautiful structure of the book, which I find interesting, is that he starts with the verses of the Holy Quran. He gathers relevant verses of the topic which he is discussing from the Holy Quran.
Indeed.
And he brings them at one place, and then he gathers the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which are of the relevant topic. He brings them all together for the reader qari. And then another interesting way of this book, which I find, is the aqwal, the sayings of pious predecessors on that very relevant topic, what they have said, the pearls of wisdom they have written. And that knowledge may have been scattered in many other books. And this also tells us the scholarly brilliance of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala, his depth of knowledge and his mutali'ah, his study of the books, of the various books of various ulama, various scholars, And then to know those aqwal, those things, and then to gather them at one place. And then his study of hadith. And Allahu Akbar, his knowledge of hadith is also very much obvious from this work which he has done, that he gathers all relevant hadith from different books of hadith. And then again, knowledge of Quran, subhanAllah, that he brings relevant verses of the Holy Quran. So let's begin with the same format he has written in his book, first Quran, then hadith, then aqwal. How would you begin with this important topic of knowledge?
MashaAllah, the way you introduced, it's very interesting to find how Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi brings everything together. And his primary goal is to beautify the outward state of the human being with his inward spirituality, which he felt at that time was lacking within the masses, within the even scholars. Now, he's sort of understood the psyche of the public, of the people, and now he brings all those elements together, how he can reform the people. And as you've mentioned, mashallah, he's not only mentioned the verses of the Quran first and then the ahadith, but he mentions at the very beginning that how he's divided this entire subject into different categories. So he mentions that firstly he would mention the verses of the Quran and those verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted the importance of knowledge through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how Allah Almighty commanded the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to tell the people, those verses he's gathered first. Then he talks about ahadith. Then he talks about that knowledge which is beneficial. Then he talks about the knowledge which is non-beneficial. So we know about the reprehensibility, the harm of non-beneficial knowledge as well, and what is the importance of beneficial knowledge. So he categorizes all this discussion beautifully for us to understand what is the importance of knowledge and how we gather it. Now, just on this subject, when we talk about the chapter of knowledge, he's categorized it into seven subheadings, you can say, in other words. So first, he starts with the excellence of knowledge, teaching and learning. Second is the exposition of fardain, the individual knowledge, the individual obligation, and fardai kifaya, the communal obligation within the sciences, then definition of fiqh, and the limit of theology. Ilm-e Kalam being a religious science, because there has to be a limit to that as well. And then the sciences of the hereafter and of this world. Then number three is the exposition of blameworthy sciences, which I was mentioning earlier, which the layman consider Islamic knowledge and the extent of their reprehensibility. Then number four is the calamities of debate and the reasons for people's involvement into disputes and differences. Then number five is the etiquettes of the teachers and students. Then number six, he mentions the calamities associated with knowledge and scholars and the distinguishing characteristics between the scholars of the world and scholars of the hereafter. Again, he's categorizing them, scholars of this dunya and scholars of the akhirah. And then the seventh subheading that he made was the exposition of the intellect, aql, its excellence, its categories, and the narrations reported regarding it. So this is how he divides chapter number one, which is on knowledge, into these seven subheadings, in other words. And then when we start with the first section within this subject, of course, then come the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting the importance of knowledge. And this again shows us that the most supreme authority is the book of Allah, is the kalam of Allah, is the Holy Quran. So he, rahmatullah, gathers verses from the Quran, highlighting importance of knowledge, and then he goes into the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before going on to the statements of the pious predecessors.
SubhanAllah. Wasim bhai, when we talk about the excellence of ulama, in his same book, Ihyaul Ulum, he has mentioned this beautiful hadith also that Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala al-huma said that ulama-i kiram, those they are people of knowledge, right? They would be higher in the ranks, 700 ranks above than the noble people.
SubhanAllah.
Okay. And then he says that between the two ranks, the distance would be equal to 500 years of journey.
SubhanAllah.
Now, a person who journeys for 500 years, how much distance would that be?
Allah.
And that would be the distance between the two ranks.
Just two levels of ranks.
Two levels of ranks. And then there are 700 levels.
Allah.
And between the noble people and those, they are ulama, people of knowledge. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now, this is enough for us to understand the importance of knowledge. Then in this sequence, when he mentions, he has brought few verses of the Holy Quran, Could you please present a few verses to the viewers of Madani Channel? From that, we will understand that what Quran talks about knowledge, what Quran talks about ilm, what Quran talks about the importance of knowledge.
And then which verses Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has chosen to make them a part of his book.
Subhanallah.
There's also a whole psyche behind it, that why he chose these verses. So in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the first verse which Imam Ghazali brings in his chapter of knowledge. Allah bears witness that there's none worthy of worship except Him, as did the angels and the scholars established with justice.
Mm.
Now, in this verse, you can observe how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with His own self.
Right.
Allah Almighty is beginning saying that Allah bears witness with His own self, then mention the angels and subsequently the people of knowledge. So for honor, excellence, sublimity, perfection, this mention is sufficient, that ulama, the people of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with Himself and along with malaika. So this is a beautiful sequence in this verse which Imam Ghazali rahimahullah first of all brought forward, and he's showing us through this verse that look at the eminence of the scholars, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned Himself, then malaika, and then the scholars. Look at the eminence of the scholars, that they've been mentioned along with whom? The
Allah
angels. First
angels.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angels, then the scholars. Who are angels? They're infallible creation. They're the creation who can't sin, who do only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands them. They don't have the tendency to commit sin. That look at how higher of a creation they are. And then Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, along with Allah, along with angels, the scholars are being mentioned. So this in its own shows us the grandeur of the scholars, and how honorable and what a great virtue it is to be a scholar. And this verse alone should be enough for us to understand the virtue, the honor, the excellence of the scholars.
SubhanAllah. Another beautiful verse which is in front of me, I would like to share. Surah Zumar, verse number 9. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, are those who know and those who do not know equal? Now this is a question, right? And this question itself is a great importance of knowledge. Quran, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is mentioning that. You say that, is it possible the one who knows and the one does not know,
yeah,
can they be equal? Of course not. They cannot be equal. So this tells us that the one who possesses knowledge, he is greater in terms of excellence, in terms of fadl, in terms of sharaf, in terms of honor, respect, and everything you call it. And the one who is ignorant, the one who is jahil, the one who does not have knowledge, that person and the one who is alim, the one who has knowledge of Deen Islam, they can never be equal.
Indeed.
So
indeed,
those, they are not seeking the knowledge of Deen Islam. Those, they are not getting themselves connected to Quran, to Hadith, to the sayings of Prophet alayhi salatu tasneem, to fiqh. So they should ponder on the fact that where they are standing.
Right?
This is the message of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, clearly. And another verse, which is Surah Fatir, verse number 28. Imam Ghazali, he has cited from Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. From his people only the learned are truly in the awe of Allah.
Allah.
So who fears Allah tabarak wa ta'ala truly?
Those who are
those they are ulama, those they are scholars. So fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the basic element which must be present in one's faith. Right. Without that, we will not be able to, do good deeds or get proximity in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala
sins,
or refrain from sins. Right. And mainly is the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When we will have fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then we will follow the commandments of Allah. And who are those that possess fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? In the awe of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they are ulama.
Subhanallah.
Any other verse you would like to quote?
Indeed, there are many. And then Imam Ghazali rahimahullah then mentions another verse where again the ulama, they mentioned alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Surah Ra'd, in verse number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, Allah is sufficient as a witness between me and you and whosoever has knowledge of the scripture. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient as a witness. And straight after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is being mentioned? Those who have the knowledge of scripture.
Subhanallah.
Knowledge of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has beautifully compiled these verses of the Quran in one place at the very beginning of the first chapter of knowledge, and he's highlighted the importance of knowledge. But not only that, as he mentioned, that he has brought forward those verses specially in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to convey the message of Allah Almighty regarding the importance of knowledge. And again, how beautifully Allah Almighty has commanded Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam over here, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ قُلْ, say, O beloved. So Allah Almighty is commanding the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to convey to the people regarding the importance of knowledge. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi has brought those verses of the Quran first in this chapter, where Allah Almighty is commanding himself to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to convey the importance of knowledge to the people.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. The importance of knowledge and what one can get from it. Okay, how powerful is that? Okay, this is also mentioned in the Holy Quran, which tells us the power of knowledge. Right, we learn from Surah An-Naml, verse number 40. Right, it has been mentioned, the one who had knowledge of the book said, "I'll bring it to you before you blink." Right. Now, this is an account of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam's minister, who was Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Right? He was capable of bringing throne which was very far, miles and miles away, and which was very heavy, very wide and very lengthy in its nature, right, and in its structure. But he brought it within no time,
within blink of an eye.
Allahu Akbar. And he was the companion of whom? Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was not Nabi, he was Wali of Allah. So this ayah also proves the karamat, right? The saintly miracle of Waliullah. But at the same time, the reason which is mentioned here, this is something worth noticing. Quran says the one who had knowledge of the book,
subhanAllah,
right? This is the distinction which is mentioned here, the reason, the cause of this, why he had that power. It was the knowledge of the book we had. And worth noticing, he was an ummati of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. And the book, the knowledge that he had was not Quran.
It was the book
which
of Sulaiman.
Another divine book of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now imagine the power of that Waliullah, or someone who possesses the knowledge of Quran, what would that be?
Allah.
And the one who is from the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Imam al-Anbiya, who is Sahib al-Quran, who is best of all. And the ummah is best of all umam. Right? And this also tells us that what would be the rank. Now, that tells us the rank of the awliya of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam's time, who possessed the knowledge of that book. What was their status and what was their level of power they possessed through the knowledge which they possessed? And Allah granted them that knowledge. And we are not talking from any books, we are talking from Quran.
Indeed.
Allahu Akbar. Now, this is enough for us to understand the importance of knowledge, and to understand that what would be the maqam and station and level and rank of the awliya of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and what powers Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would have granted them, those that possess the knowledge of book, which is best of all books, which is Al-Quran Al-Hakim.
Subhanallah.
Respected viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Echoes of Al-Ghazali, the pearls and wisdoms which he has brought in Ihya. Right, we are talking from that very book, what he has gathered. Wasim Masbay, we are talking about the importance of knowledge. Right, and we are citing the verses of the Holy Quran. Right, anything else you would like to share?
Indeed, again, I mean, the beautiful point you mentioned, it also highlights not only the importance of knowledge, but also how important it is for us to acquire knowledge as well, and how important it is for us to have that connection with the Quran for our own well-being. As you gave the example of Asif bin Barkhiya rahmatullah alayhi, we have the example of Balan bin Ba'ura at a time when he was able to. He was Mustajab al-Da'wat, and many other saintly miracles were transpired through him. He had the knowledge of Ismul Azam, the supreme name. Then again, beautiful example you gave, that if that was the level, there was the rank of a wali of the
past,
then imagine the power
of the wali of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And again, one cannot achieve the ranks of excellences without knowledge. This is what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is trying to emphasize over here.
Absolutely right.
That knowledge is fundamental for you. Mm. And then he didn't only mention the benefits or virtues of knowledge, he also mentioned the true purpose of knowledge. What is the purpose? So importance of knowledge is one thing, acquiring knowledge is one thing, and acquiring it to serve the true purpose is another thing. Because he did mention earlier that there are many scholars, but they acquire knowledge. Why? To win debates over other people, to have a rank and position in the sight of other people.
Name and fame.
Name and fame and all that. So he is not only gathering these things, he's also mentioning the actual and true purpose of knowledge, which is to better yourself, which is to
correct
enhance
intentions,
your spirituality, which is to act upon your own knowledge.
Mashallah.
So he's brought all these elements into consideration. Now, another beautiful verse of Surah Qasas, verse number 80, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, and those who were granted knowledge said, destruction for you, the reward of Allah is better for the one who believes and performs righteous deeds. Now, who is saying this? Those who possessed knowledge. Now, this verse clarifies the value and status of the hereafter are recognized only through knowledge. Because those who possessed knowledge, those who were granted knowledge, they said this, that destruction for you, the reward of Allah is better for the one who believes and performs righteous deeds. So people with knowledge, they are mentioning this, that the reward of Allah is better. If you believe in Allah, this is better. So the elements of the hereafter, understanding of the hereafter is truly possessed by only those who possess knowledge, who have the understanding of deen, who have the understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And time again, Allah Almighty through these verses is highlighting the eminence of knowledge and those who possess knowledge. And how, again, I mean, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah shower his countless mercies upon him, how he's compiled all this together and how he's not only highlighting the importance of knowledge, but also he's teaching us the true purpose of knowledge, that the purpose of knowledge is not for you to acquire a name for yourself, but it is for you to be close in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this element of proximity in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only something personal, which is a personal to a which is personal to a person, that how much he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is by the means of knowledge that a person acquires a proximity, which Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is teaching us beautifully.
Respectfully, you were talking about knowledge and we're reciting a few verses of the Holy Quran. Now let's go towards the Faramin Mustafa, sayings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Time is really, really very short for us. Even 14 verses Imam Ghazali al-Rahma has brought. And we were just able to mention a few.
A few.
So we would like to ask viewers to get hold of this beautiful book, Ihya'ul-Ulum, and have a good read to that also for your reference, inshallah. And now, Imam Ghazali al-Rahma has brought 28 hadiths on this very topic, about the excellence of knowledge. And a few of them, inshallah, we will be mentioning here. Definitely, time is very short. Which of the ones you're going to share with viewers of Madani Channel?
SubhanAllah. So, as you mentioned, now the theme of the work of Imam Ghazali, so it goes on from the verses of the Quran to the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And why he chose these ahadith, again, there's a specific reason how Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi brings them into discussion. So one of the hadith that you mentioned, the 28 ahadith, we of course can't mention all of them, but one of the hadith that Imam Ghazali discusses is very famous, very beautiful hadith. Scholars are the heirs of the prophets.
Subhanallah.
They are the waratha of the prophets. Now, it is evident from this that no rank is superior to prophethood. Prophethood is the most superior rank. Therefore, there's no greater honor than the inheritance of prophethood either. So if prophethood is the greatest rank, then the inheritance, meaning the knowledge that they leave behind, is also the greatest of the inheritance. So the ulama, they are the heirs of the prophets. They are the
sharaf itself. This you see, honor itself is indeed a great honor.
So if prophethood is the greatest rank, the inheritance they're leaving behind is also greatest. And who's the possessor of the greatest of the inheritance? It is the ulama. Then another beautiful hadith, that every creation in the heavens and the earth seeks forgiveness for the scholar.
Allah.
Every creation in the earth and the heavens. Now, what status could be loftier than that for which the angels of the heaven and earth remain occupied in seeking forgiveness. Imagine the status of a person for whom angels in the earth, in the heavens, they are also seeking forgiveness. The person himself is engrossed in himself in acquiring knowledge, yet the angels are engrossed in seeking forgiveness for that very person. And who are angels? Subhanallah, one of the most exalted creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are seeking forgiveness for a person who acquires knowledge, who is a scholar. Everything of the earth and the heavens are seeking forgiveness for a scholar.
Imam Ghazali Rahma, he mentions that there are two attributes right, which cannot gather in a munafiq, a hypocrite. Then he says that which of the two are not present in a munafiq? One of them is husni akhlaq,
good character,
good character, conduct, and the other is the understanding of deen, the knowledge of deen, the understanding of deen. Then he clarifies another doubt. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that in that present era he's talking about. Now he is also approximately 900 years old, buzurg saint. Now even that time he's talking about that there are certain fuqaha, there are certain people who have the understanding of deen, right? Apparently they look, they are faqih, they are fuqaha. But if you find nifaq in them, hypocrisy in them, then do not doubt this very hadith because of that. He mentions the reason. Because in this hadith, the fiqh is not referred which you are understanding.
Right.
This hadith does not refer to that fiqh which you are presuming and understanding. And very soon, he says, we will mention the meaning of that fiqh. And the minimum level of a faqih, the one who has the understanding of knowledge, is that he has this yaqeen, this faith, that this hereafter is better than this dunya.
Allah.
And if he has got the recognition of this element, and if that is dominant, then because of its barakah, he will be purified from nifaq and ostentation.
SubhanAllah. If he understands the reality of this.
So it means that probably that faqih has not understood that reality of that. Right? Allahu Akbar. So this is Imam Ghazali Rahmatul Rahman. He is explaining the hadith also. Then he is also clearing all the clouds of doubt what one may possess.
And he's guiding the so-called scholars as well who are in doubts.
Allahu. Or a person, a noble person, if he sees someone, a faqih, right? And if he finds any flaw in that personality, he may not doubt that hadith. Then he also clarified that cloud or the doubt which would come in one's mind.
SubhanAllah. Similarly, there is one way, many of the places we find where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared knowledge to be even superior than martyrdom.
SubhanAllah.
Something which every believer yearns for. So knowledge has also been declared superior than martyrdom. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ stated that the excellence of the scholar over the worshipper is like my excellence over the lowest amongst my companions.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
So here again, we can see that how the Prophet ﷺ linked the rank of knowledge with prophethood and how he reduced the status of an action devoid of knowledge.
Beautiful.
So beautiful comparison is given over here. So despite the fact that a worshipper...
What a great difference.
Indeed.
This comparison possesses.
Despite the fact that a worshipper is not without some basic knowledge of their worship, or else a worship is not worship which is devoid of knowledge. So a worshipper is nothing without some basic knowledge. The worship he is performing, there is nothing without the without knowledge which he should possess, or else worship which is performing is not worship in the first place. So of course knowledge is something which even elevates the ranks of the worship. It makes the worship perfect. Otherwise, without knowledge, we don't even know that we might be making such mistakes which would render the worship void.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, they have got this beauty that sometimes metaphors, sometimes similes, sometimes, you know, the examples, they are quoted in a way to make people understand. And in very one-liner hadith, you would have the ocean of knowledge.
SubhanAllah.
Right? You can understand that depth of knowledge. Now here, there is a hadith in front of me I would like to share, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iman, faith is clothless. It doesn't have cloth. Mm. Faith doesn't have cloth. It's clothesless. But its libas, its clothes, yes, is piety.
SubhanAllah.
Right? SubhanAllah. And then its beauty is modesty.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. And then said, its fruit is knowledge.
SubhanAllah.
The outcome what you get after you have the faith. Right? So this everything that comes together, then that beautifies one's faith. Right? The way libas beautifies one's personality.
Indeed.
Right? The clothes, they beautify one's personality, add beauty to that personality. The same way, if someone has got modesty, someone has got the fear of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, someone has got piety, and then someone has got knowledge, then only that iman is beautified.
SubhanAllah.
Then it gets further strengthened.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. And similarly, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentions again, giving a beautiful example, the excellence of scholar over worshipper is like the excellence of full moon over other stars.
Allah.
And then he says, on the day of judgment, again, beautiful virtue he states over here, that on the day of judgment, three types of people shall intercede. They will do shifa'ah. Number one, the prophets, then are the scholars, and then the martyrs. So even in the hadith, the scholars have been mentioned before the martyrs and straight after the prophets. So this also shows that the more honorable status is that which is mentioned alongside the status of prophethood. And it is above martyrdom, even though martyrdom's virtue have been mentioned in several hadith. So martyrdom is also one of the most superior form of privileges. But again, something which is associated closer to the prophethood, of course, its rank would also be loftier. So in this hadith, straight after the prophets is mentioned the scholars and then the martyrs. So scholars are closely linked with the prophets when it comes to the element of interceding.
Many viewers will be watching across the globe. One message I would like to give them, right? Sometimes we have got an understanding that my son, he becomes a doctor, engineer, or scientist, or, you know, so forth. For example, these many professions out there, the people have got a mindset that they would have become that, or they want their children to be. Now, after listening to these ayahs of Quran, after listening to these ahadith, we should have a mindset that in our home, at least one should be an alimati, a scholar. One individual must be, who can guide us, who can teach us, and who can become a source of our shafaat in the day of judgment, as you mentioned, right?
Indeed.
Right? After anbiya, scholars will be interceding. Allahu Akbar. If someone from our own family, our son, our child, is a scholar of Deen Islam, he has studied all these, and who has been ranked to such ranks which we have been discussing, right, who possesses that knowledge which has got sharaf, Allahu Akbar, respect, honor, and grace before Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and we will have salvation. That individual will have salvation. Many youngsters will be listening to us. We have got Jamiatul Madina, Dawat Islam, Alhamdulillah, residential also, non-residential also, full-time also, part-time also. Take admissions, inshallah. Start learning Quran, start learning Ahadith, start learning Fiqh, start learning the knowledge of Deen Islam. This is the whole point of these programs. Why we are doing, why we are talking about these old Ahadith. The reason is that we get motivated, and the viewers, those that are watching, they get motivated. No matter which age you are of, you can start at any age, at any time.
And there are many examples we see that many elderly Islamic brothers, yes, they took admissions and they became ulama. They completed the scholar course and they graduated from the Jamiat al-Madina, the Islamic University of Dawat Islami. And we also have examples of many professional Islamic brothers. Now, another thing comes in mind, Islami, that if I become a scholar, I mean, that is the only thing I can do. Or if I, for example, pursued my worldly studies, I'm a professional in any field, now I can't do Islamic scholar course. So is that true? I would like to ask you, is that true? No. And if I'm, for example, a professional today, I'm a solicitor, I'm an accountant, I'm an engineer, what platforms are available for me to become a scholar through Dawat Islami, where along with my worldly profession, I can also pursue Islamic studies and I can also graduate as an Islamic scholar from the Jamiat al-Madina of Dawat Islami?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Dawat Islami has bridged that gap, that under one roof, one can, alhamdulillah, gain both mainstream education at the same time, alhamdulillah, Islamic education. In Pakistan, our system has gone to university level. But here in the UK, we have got nurseries, we have got primary schools, alhamdulillah, we have opened secondary schools. Up to there we have gone. And very soon you will find our Islami will have the college and university level studies, mainstream study also here.
Amazing platform that Dawat Islami has provided is the online platform as well for the professionals.
Yes.
As well as the part-time admissions you mentioned, that many professionals, they even study physically in part-time institutes in the evening classes, but they also study online through the Faizan Online Academy of Dawat Islami. Right.
Yes, yes, that option is also available. I was talking about the youngsters.
Gigi.
If they would like to pursue the education both Islamic and worldly, that option is available. But for professionals, online part-time options are available. So Dawat Islami has given the solutions to all problems what one might face, even living abroad in Western society where you do not find many institutions, many masajid close by. So why not opt an option online, Faizan Online Academy, and find, search about it and get admission. Even you can get courses, you can do many different courses, alhamdulillah, they are available. The main idea is seeking knowledge.
Indeed.
It's not that you have to get kind of a certificate of a scholar, right? That certificate matters, yes, definitely, to some extent, but it does not matter too much. Actually, what matters is knowledge of deen.
Indeed. Right?
What you are learning, seeking knowledge. And you can get that knowledge through these programs also. Why don't you watch Madani Muzakara, alhamdulillah, Amir of Al-Sunnah, source of knowledge. The programs of Mufti Qasim Sahib, right? Alhamdulillah, other Muftiyani Kiram, they are doing different programs. Watch, learn Quran, Tafsir, Hadith. There are many programs, the one we are doing right now. So this is also a means of increasing knowledge. When there is a will, there is a way. Now let's include one segment in our program, and that is Sufi Saints. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul.
Today the personality, Sayyidina Ma'ruf Karhi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. What a great name in the history of Islam. Amongst the awliya, amongst those they were muqarrab in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, those they held proximity in the court of Rabb ta'ala azza wa jal, Ma'ruf Qarqi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is amongst those pious ones. Inshallah, today we'll talk about this personality, a bit of life and legacy, whatever we can in this very short span of time, inshallah, discuss. Ji, Wasim Basmi, over to you.
Subhanallah, Ma'ruf Qarqi rahmatullahi alayhi, amazing personality. He was among the Tabi Tabi'een, someone who found the era of the Tabi'een, and he was extremely pious. He was at the rank of exalted wilaya. His kunya was Abu Mahfuz, and his name was Ma'ruf. And he was born in Baghdad in the area of Karkh, and because of this association, he is called Al-Karkhi. And he's from the generation of the Tabi'un, as mentioned earlier. And he's the follower of the foremost Imam, the master of the jurists, Imam Adam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit, radiallahu anhu. He's Hanafi, alhamdulillah. Now, amongst the many fadail of Ma'ruf Karkhi, rahmatullah alayh, let's stick to his eminence of knowledge. We're talking about knowledge today. In the knowledge field of knowledge, again, he was the master. He was the leader of ulama. The Imam of millions of Hanbalis, subhanAllah, Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, the great muhaddith, Sayyidina Yahya bin Ma'in, rahmatullah alayh, they were students of Ma'ruf Karkhi, rahmatullah alayh. Although Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, he had his own Hanbali fiqh, but he was the student of Ma'ruf Karkhi, rahmatullah alayh, who himself was Hanafi. And son of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidina Abdullah, rahmatullah alayh, said, I asked my father, that I learned that you used to go to Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh. Did he have knowledge of hadith? And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh answered that, my dear son, he had the root of the matter, meaning he had taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, when we were talking about the knowledge, what it leads to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all those spiritual uplift that a person experiences. Then is one way again, when we talk about the fear of Allah Almighty. At one instance, someone entered the masjid of Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh, and when Ma'ruf Karkhi alayhi rahma was calling out the adhan, he was trembling so much in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it felt as if he wouldn't be able to complete the adhan and he would fall down. That's how much he was trembling in the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the spiritual successor of Ghawth-e Paak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, who was Sheikh Ali rahmatullah alayh. He says he is the murid of the successor of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. He says that I went to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh to the shrine of Ma'ruf Karkhi. So along with Ghawth-e Paak, he goes to the shrine of Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh, and he says that my Sheikh, meaning Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, said salam to Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh, and from inside the shrine we heard the reply, wa alayka salam ya sayyida ahl az-zaman, meaning that peace be upon you, O leader of the people of this era. Meaning he was replying from inside the shrine to Ghawth-e Paak rahmatullah alayh. So Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh is that personality to whose best shrine even the likes of our Ghawthul Azam rahmatullah alayh would also visit. And this shows the greatness of Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh and what great ranks he possesses. Second Muharram al-Haram, 200 Hijri was the time when this great saint departed from this world. And it is very famous among the awliya that if you want any desire to be fulfilled, then make dua through his medium. Inshallah, your dua will be accepted. Many awliya, they would visit the shrine of Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh, present his medium to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and through his medium, their duas would be accepted.
May Allah shower countless blessings upon the shrine of Ma'ruf Karkhi rahmatullah alayh and forgiveness for his sake. Let's take another segment that is Sufi wisdom. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul.
Sings. Two of them are from our pious predecessors, and one of them is of our Sheikh Tariqat, founder of Dawat-e Islam. See, Wazir Vazbez.
The first saying that we have today is from none other than Ma'ruf Karkhi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says that to expect the mercy of he whom you disobey is naivety and deprivation.
Allah.
How beautifully he's explaining this.
SubhanAllah. Now there are people in this day and age, they just do nothing.
Ji.
They don't offer salah, they don't do siyam, fasting, or give zakah, or perform hajj, or do good deeds, and they are engaged in sins. And they think that they will be forgiven because of the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or the shafa'at of Mustafa Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam.
Though the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very vast,
absolutely,
but at the same time his punishment is also very severe. We should keep that balance, the balance of hope and fear.
And he has rightfully explained it.
To desire paradise without action, Allahu Akbar, it is a mistake. And is
shafa'at also he mentioned.
It is a delusion to expect shafa'at without
Allahu Akbar.
Now let's go in the quote of the Imam of Al-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah. He mentions that every Muslim is in need of Sharia in every moment and every breath until death. Those that step into the realm of spiritual wayfaring are even more in need, as with the narrowing of the path, there's greater need for a guide. How beautifully he's mentioning that, how important Sharia, how important knowledge is. And those who want to traverse the path of spirituality, it is even more important for them, because the example again you're mentioning was, the narrower the path is, the more need of a guide there is. So Sharia, knowledge again, is our guide. And then let's go in the quote of our Sheikh, Honorable Amir of Al-Sunnah. He mentions that even if a person sheds tears contemplating the hereafter, invites to righteousness, brings positive effects to people with his words, and helps people offer salah who did not previously, he should still fear Allah Almighty.
Allah.
Nobody knows Allah's hidden plan for us.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. Bijahil Nabil. Ameen. May Allah Ta'ala guide us about what we have heard, what we have learnt, and may we follow these wisdom, the words of wisdom which these Sufia, they have written or guided us. That's all for today. Time is up. We'll be back. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Echoes of Al-Ghazali, his words still guide the seeking soul, from knowing the self to reaching the goal. Echoes of Al-Ghazali.